Chag Sameach, and welcome back to the OU Daily International Tehillim and Chizuk Phone Call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. As always, it is great to be back with each and every one of you. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Chamishi, the third day of the month of Iyar, the 18th day of the Omer. Today is Yom Ha'atzmaut, Independence Day in Israel, celebrating 73 years of independence. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support, in particular the Schwartz family, and whose names are prominently listed in the OU Daily email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. And please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Ilan Feldman of Congregation Beth Jacob in Atlanta, Georgia, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Feldman slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishaberach, Lecholim, and Achenu. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Feldman.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Herman, and thank you to the OU and to you personally for inviting me back and having me be able to lead this very, very special group. I mean, it's been going on daily for so long and so many, and that just reinforces the notion that the language of the Jewish people is tefillah, is communicating in communion with Hashem. And so it's really an honor to be here, particularly on a day like this, on Yom Ha'atzmaut observed. It's really, by the way, a very wonderful thing that when the fifth of the Iyar comes out on Shabbos, that the State of Israel makes sure not to indirectly cause any chilul Shabbos, any violation of Shabbos, by having the observance take place a bit earlier so that we can do what we want to do and express what we want to express, celebrate the way we want to celebrate, and not involve, God forbid, any infringement that get infringe on the holiness of Shabbos. So that's really the wonderful thing. It's to the credit of the state. I want to share a perspective with you on this very special day, 73rd birthday of Medinat Yisrael. And, people like my age and younger really don't know anything other than the existence of the State of Israel. It's totally normal. And only when we escape our own limited existence and go back in time do we realize, we gain the perspective of how special, unusual, miraculous it is that we have an official homeland recognized by the Umot HaOlam, the nations of the world who have said, yes, the Jews belong back in Israel. And, of course, that is a theological statement, not just a political or a geographic statement, but a theological statement, because the dominant religion of the Western world, Christianity, is based significantly on the notion that the Jews abandoned God, and God abandoned the Jews and replaced us with a new Israel. And the idea that the Jews have come back and that the nations of the world have recognized that the Jews belong back in the land of Israel is theologically revolutionary and just shocking. And that's part of the reality that we're living in. We're living in a miraculous reality. The perspective I want to share is one that I kind of stumbled into by accident in the last trip, I believe, that I had to Israel before COVID interrupted the kind of routine back and forth that many of us are privileged to have. You know, how many times, I can't count how many times I've had the privilege of visiting Israel, whether it's for family reasons or whether it's for rabbinic reasons, being part of a mission or UJA or other rabbinic missions or solidarity missions or just groups, leading groups, touring Israel. But almost every time that I've gone to Israel, I've landed at Ben-Gurion and then immediately gone up to Yerushalayim for one reason or another. The last trip that I took, based on the nature of the trip and the itinerary, we landed in Ben Gurion and we went to Tel Aviv at 11:30 at night. I had not been to Tel Aviv at night for a long time. I was overwhelmed by the physically imposing buildings, by the modernity, by the construction, by the intensity of city life, by the size of it. The whole thing was just an unbelievable buzzing metropolis with corporate headquarters broadcasting their existence to the world from the tops of the buildings with their logos. And I had a reaction which was surprising to me, because this is, Tel Aviv is normally not associated with religious revival. And I didn't experience religious revival at that minute. I experienced just miraculous revival. The fact that such a city could exist in the land of Israel, where 100 years ago there was almost nothing there. You look at pictures of Tel Aviv and the sand dunes, and to see what has developed over there and how central to the world Tel Aviv and therefore Israel has become, just hit me between the eyes, the miracle that is the state of Israel. And I said to myself, if this is the physical development, which is just unavoidable and inescapable, how much more so the spiritual development, is, which is not as easy to see because it's not measured in buildings and pavement and roads and highways, but measured in other ways, which take a little bit more insight to appreciate. But how much more so is that miraculous? Because, as we all know, the amount of Torah study, the amount of Jewish living, the amount of fulfillment of mitzvahs that takes place in Israel is just unprecedented since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash until today. There has never been that level, volume, that number of Torah study and observance and just population of people knowing and discovering and reaching out to Hashem in the Eretz HaKadosha. So it's really, we have to pause for a moment and realize we are living in miraculous times, and the fact is that even that statement has become so normative for us that we don't appreciate through the lens of history what it is that we're living through. We can be forgiven if we get carried away and are almost certain that we're living in times of Mashiach, that we're living in an era where there are going to be continued dramatic, unpredictable, and amazing revelations of the hand of God in the world, in world history. And Amir Tashem, we should continue to see miraculous development in the land of Israel to the point where we're able to ultimately realize the dream that the Navi Yeshaya and other Nevi'im state so eloquently for the Jewish people. And Amir Tashem, we should merit that. And davening on a day like this, I believe, is saying Tehillim, is a wonderful thing, obviously. Not only a statement of appreciation, but also a statement of pleading, because it's just an unbelievable dual existence that we have, where we celebrate the wonderful gift that is the state of Israel. And at the same time, right now, today, a national, international headlines, we're still dealing with existential threats to the very existence of the state of Israel in the form of right now of Iran, but there are other expressions of that threat as well. And it's almost mind-boggling that with all of the strength and with all of the development and all of the security and all of the wars that have not accomplished their goals against the state of Israel, we're still dealing, after all this time, with an existential threat. So davening is both a statement of appreciation and wonder that God has given us this gift, and it's also an expression of pleading. It's an expression of we recognize that without the hand of God, we cannot make it through these threats. And Amir Tashem, with God's hand, we will not only defeat and transcend these threats, but we will actually thrive and realize the ultimate goal in our lifetime, b'mehera b'yameinu, of the coming of Mashiach and the full revelation of the presence of Hashem. So with that, let's turn our attention to the three paragraphs of Tehillim that we're going to recite together. We'll start with Tehillim Chaf Gimel, Psalm 23, and I will recite that and invite you to recite together with me. Let's start together. Mizmar le David, Adonai roi lo esar, Vinos deshe yarbitseni, Almei menuchos yinahaleni, Nafshi yishavev, Yancheni v'magle tzedek, L'ma'an shmo. Gam ki elech begei talmoves, Lo ira ra, ki ato imadi, Shivtecha umishantecha, Hema yinachamuni. Ta'aroch lefanai shulchan neged sararoi, Yishanta v'ashemen roshi, Kosi revaya. Ach tov v'chesed, Yudafuni kol yemei chayai, v'shavti b'veis Adonai la'orech yomim. And that was Psalm 23, which, as a rabbi, I recite often in moments of despair, particularly at funerals, but also this is a psalm, as we know, it's Tehillim that's recited at Shalosh Shuddos often, or even a Friday night in many customs. It's also a celebratory Tehillah. Now we go turn to Psalm 121. Give you a moment to turn the page if you're following in a sitter. Psalm 121, Kuf Chaf Aleph. Shir Lama Alos, Esa Einai El Heharim, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai, Osei Shamayim Va'aretz. Al Yitain Lamot Raglecha, Al Yonum Shamrecha. Hine Lo Yonum, V'lo Yishan, Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shamrecha, Adonai Tzilcha, Ayad Yiminecha. Yomam HaShemesh Lo Yakeka, V'yareach Baloila. Adonai Yishmarcha Mikol Ra, Yishmar Es Nafshecha. Adonai Yishmar Tzeischa Uvo'echa, Me'ata Ve'ad Olam. And now we'll turn to Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir HaMa'alos, Mima Makim Kurasicha Adonai. Adonai Shim'a V'koli, Tehiyena Aznecha Kashuvos, L'kol Tachanunai. Im Avonos Tishmar Ya, Adonai Mi Ya'amod. Ki Imcha Haslicha, L'ma'an Tivarei. Ki visi Adonai, ki v'so nafshi, v'lidvaro halchalti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mishamrim laboker, shamrim laboker. Yachel Yisrael, el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed, v'harbe imo fidus, v'hu yifde es Yisrael, mikol avonosav. Now we will recite the special Mishaberach for Cholim, for people who are in need of recovery. I will pause when we get to the appropriate place for the names and give everybody a chance to recite the names of the particular people that they are davening for. And please God, all the Cholei Yisrael should have Refuah Shlema. Mi Sheberach Abusenu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Moshe Aharon David U'Shlomo Hu Yivarech V'Yirapeh Es Kol Cholei Amo Beis Yisrael. Ba'avur she'anachnu misparalim o nodrim tztaka ba'avuram. B'schar zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu yimalei rachamim aleihem. Ba'achlimam l'rapasam l'achzikam l'achyasam yishlach lehem mehera l'rufua shleima min ha'shamayim l'chol evarehem l'chol gideim v'soch sh'ar cholei Yisrael rufuas ha'nefesh rufuas ha'guf Hashto ba'agolo v'zman kariv, v'nomar amen. And let's conclude with the tefillah, the prayer for all of our brethren around the world and in the land of Israel for the continued well-being or for their salvation, as it is still necessary and needed for us to daven on behalf of many, many Jews that way. Achenu kol beis Yisrael. Hanesunim betzara uvishivya ha'omdim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha'makom yurachem aleihem, v'yotziyem mitzora l'vacha, me'afela le'ora, u'mishibu le'gula, hashta'o ba'agala v'zman kariv, v'nomar, amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. Thank you. Thank you. It's so good to have you back on. Thank you so much. I just want to piggyback a little bit of what Rabbi Feldman was speaking about. Those want to stay on just a little bit. There's a fantastic article on the web on the Times of Israel's website. It's Israel at 73 by the numbers. And just to share a few little things that stood out to me, in terms of happiness, Israel is ranked 12th. In this year's UN's annual World Happiness Report, it's based on gross domestic product per person, healthy life expectancy, and the opinions of each country's residents. In terms of work and economy, in terms of jobs, over 10% of Israelis work in the high-tech industry, and the number continues to rise. And there are many who feel that Israel fared very well, especially during the pandemic, as a result of so many being in the high-tech industry. Very surprisingly, that only 1% of Israelis work in agriculture and fishing, which was a major industry and a source of national pride in Israel's early years. Just a few other numbers, 12.7% of Israelis work in education, 11.3% in health services. Just to give us a sense, in terms of population and birth rate, Israel's population, which rose to 9,327,000 in 2021, is young. Despite being a Western country, Israel's birth rate is higher than all other OECD countries. Israel's average fertility rate is 3.01, and among secular women is 2.2, and then it's a number that is continuing to rise. A few other things that stood out were in terms of the pandemic. Over the past year, Israel's robust health services and successful vaccination campaign have helped speed up the country's recovery from the devastating effects of COVID-19, increasing the hopes that by Emir Hashem, Israel's 74th Independence Day, that the crisis will hopefully be a thing of the past. I just wanted to share that, a few things that stood out. Feel free to go on to thetimesofisrael.com, Israel at 73 by the numbers. There's more information there as well. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered. Latova. Please join us again tomorrow, Friday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, as we will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Michael Davies, who is the incoming rabbi of Congregation Sons of Israel in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day. Chag Sameach.